our formula is 15-minute meditation and 15 hours work. In work, what we should do, we make a choice. What we do after meditation, we make a choice what we want to do. If we want to shout aloud all the time, that is our choice. If we want to do anything, that is our choice. But our formula is that a few times diving into being, giving that much rest to the nervous system, so much of stresses, deep-rooted stresses will go away, nervous system will become purified. For the purification of the nervous system, slowing down the mental activity and thereby slowing down corresponding physical activity and thereby giving a chance for deep-rooted stresses to uproot themselves, and then having freed the system with some of the deep-rooted stresses, we put the system to be active. Feet walk and hands go like that, and we're doing something and thinking and writing, whatever we are doing, we are putting that nervous system to action. That nervous system, which till yesterday was functioning under the influence of so many stresses, and now so many stresses have been released this morning, and now we want to put the nervous system to action so that the stabilizing effect of relaxed nervous system may be gained. When a system which was functioning under deep-rooted stresses, it was not so competent, it was couldn't function so normally. And now this morning, so many, supposing 100 stresses have gone, 100 knots are cleared. Now we want to put the nervous system to action so that the system freed from 100 knots should be able to function. That stabilizing effect of the relaxed state should be gained. This is the effect of action after meditation. And then we meditate morning and evening, put ourselves to action. This is our principle of purification of the even the physical structure of our personality. Mind is purified by fathoming deep into purer state of awareness. As deep as we can go, the mind becomes purified to that degree. Physical body also becomes purified due to the relaxation. Material structure of the nervous system becomes purified by the change physiology and change chemistry of the system. In this way, alternating the experience of meditation and action, we keep on improving the quality of the nervous system. Nervous system becomes purer and purer, and this is the way to gain purity at all times, and that will be cosmic consciousness. This is how we grow in the level of purity, physically, mentally, both at the same time. But the procedure is meditate and act. Action and meditation. Just that example of a white cloth dipped in color and put to the sun. Color and sun. In the sun, the color fades away. But it must fade away and be colored again, and must fade away again. Again and again, this process goes on. The color becomes fast, never fades again. So gaining transcendental awareness, coming out, allowing that awareness to fade away in the field of action. This is very important. The principle of these chantings, long hours and continuous chanting, the principle of this is that the mind is wandering by nature. It is like a monkey jumping from branch to branch all the time. When we want to control the monkey, it's very difficult to control the monkey because it always jumps off, always jumping on. If there could be a way to get the monkey tired very much, give him such fast running that he gets tired and then he sits in one place. Mind is a monkey. We want the mind to be not wandering, mind wants steady. What we do? Give it such heavy work. One word, keep on repeating, doom, 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 doom. All the time, all the time, all the time. The tongue becomes tired, the lungs become tired, the mind becomes tired, and the whole thing collapses. The whole principle behind this chanting is just this, that when the mind is active, you can't control, it doesn't become steady, so put it to action. And such an action, a tiresome action, one word and one word and one word and one word, gets tired. So the process of chanting is the process of bringing tiredness to the mind and the whole lungs and the whole system. And then when you, as you said, that they want that when you stop chanting, then some experience comes. It's very clear what that experience is. Some restfulness after great tiredness. That is that experience. It contrasts. Great activity, sudden silence. Some soothing effect. Now that soothing effect is the effect of relaxed condition, of the rest. The chanting is used for the sake of getting the whole system tired. But whatever experience is, the experience is of rest. Rest of from the tiredness. This is their theory. Tire the mind. Make it tired and it will rest. Momentarily it rests. Our theory is completely opposed to it. It is our own experience that we don't do anything to experience the finer state of the mantra. We only effortlessly leave the mind pulsating on the mantra and then we find it settles down to finer state spontaneously. And from this experience, we conclude that the wandering nature of the mind is made use of in this direction and it gets to the transcendent spontaneously. Our theory is not to make the mind tired. Our theory is to let it go the way it goes and we find it goes to the absolute, gains unbounded awareness. And this is how, without adopting any unnatural means of tiring the mind, we bring satisfaction to the mind and the mind reaches its goal in that unbounded awareness spontaneously. And then, when the mind has gained this, we find it full of energy, full of vitality, full of intelligence, full of happiness. Serenity, harmony. Not only the mind, correspondingly the body as well. So the body and the mind both come on that serene level of fulfillment. From this state when the mind jumps into action, actions are more rewarding, easily performed, greater results. So in a natural way, we have brought the mind to the state of fulfillment in unbounded awareness, in the transcendent. And the natural stroke outward brings the mind to more improved efficiency, level of efficiency. With this, we perform action. And the utility of action is twofold. The result of action is of two types. One, that we get better results in our undertakings and thereby our outer physical material life becomes more enriched, more rewarding. And in the same process, pure awareness gets becomes fainted. It becomes less when we are active. This lessening of pure awareness in the field of activity is a way to make the awareness permanent. You see the point? The spiritual experience of transcendental nature becomes permanently established in the mind when the mind comes to activity and goes to the transcendent and comes to activity. Through this process, that spiritual awareness becomes permanently established. At the same time, the field of action becomes more rewarding. That means the inner life becomes more stabilized, outer life becomes more enriched, and this by making use of the natural tendency of the mind. So this is a perfect way. We make use of the natural tendency of the mind and thereby make our spiritual awareness permanent and material life more glorified. Such a perfect process of integration of life. We integrate our life means we start to live in our daily routine full inner spiritual awareness along with the outer awareness in the field of living. Both are enriched. The outer is enriched with the inner influence. The inner becomes permanent with the outer influence. The permanency of inner spiritual awareness and enrichment of the waking state of consciousness both take place in a spontaneous manner. And this is the wisdom of life. Do something without doing, so that fullness of inner and fullness of outer life may be spontaneously lived. This is knowledge of life. This is philosophy of life. This is the art of living. This is the science of being. How systematically you get to being, how systematically you get the being infused into the every phase of outer relative life. And both inner stroke of meditation, outer stroke of meditation, we know from our experience, we don't have to do anything. A simplified formula for maximum gain in life, for maximum evolvement in life. Simplified formula. The wisdom lies in simplicity and in its all comprehensiveness. This is the essence of yoga philosophy. This is what Vedanta is. Vedanta speaks of the oneness of life everywhere, and that I am, omnipresent, eternal, immortal, infinite being, and that I am, and that thou art, and that all this is, that oneness of unity. What is that? Just permanent state of inner awareness, that's all. Permanent state of inner awareness, and that we have just analyzed. By taking our awareness spontaneously inside, bringing our awareness spontaneously outside. So inside, outside, both strokes of awareness, inner stroke of awareness, outer stroke of awareness, both these alternating in a good proportion, 15-20 minutes inner stroke, 15-20 hours outer stroke. This is such a simple, such a perfect, and so natural thesis of life. Adopting this, we are on the royal road, on the highway to human possibility. Human possibility, this is human possibility, to live full inner spiritual value in every phase of outer material life. This is human possibility. So what we are doing is only normalizing the system, stress and strain, and we are adopting a natural situation for the stresses and strains to go out. We come out with full value of our personality. We radiate that full value of our personality in our atmosphere and thereby evolve, help all others to evolve. All the other systems of yoga, they all teach this natural, normal way of fulfillment. But in the present shape, the yoga, all the systems of yoga understood today or as understood for the last 1,000 years, they present a very ugly picture of this philosophy of life. Very ugly. Because they all have been interpreted in terms of control. Renunciation and detachment as a prerequisite to enlightenment. Vedanta has also met with this fate. All philosophy of yoga, all philosophy of Vedanta have been demanding a sense of renunciation and detachment, a sense of condemnation for the material prosperity, material attachment, material life. All this was a bad presentation of this wonderful philosophy of life which emerges from the Veda. Upanishads speak of that oneness everywhere, infinite, immortal, am I and thou and all this. Such wonderful expressions of truth. But when it comes to accomplish that structure in life, then all kinds of controls on the part of the mind, controls on the part of living, specified channels of living alone would accomplish that beautiful life. Such a kind of teaching has only done injustice to the whole teaching, to the whole field of knowledge. When inside life is all infinite, outside life is all relative, outside relative is always seeking and progressing towards more and more towards the infinite, then the direction of the outside is always towards inside. And therefore, why should there be a particular mode of thinking or a particular mode of life which would accomplish this inner context? The whole thing is absurd and wrong. But when this wrong has been coming on for so long, the whole understanding of the people about spiritual life is opposed to material advancement. And this is what has overtaken India. Such a beautiful country, the source of all knowledge, where the Vedas, the truth of existence is preserved, the Vedas. But look at that country, what has become of it. All lethargy and this and this and this. It's waking up now, but should have not fallen into that tragedy of ignorance. So all these things have a good meaning, chanting of Hare Krishna. All these things are good meaning, they are all well-meaning, but at their basis, they are not very comfortable. It is the very basis of them all. Yoga is understood, it's well-meaning, but the very basis is missing. And the basis is that inner life and outer life, they are two aspects of one's existence. Outer life is already moving towards the inner. Let it move in a proper way and then live inner and outer both simultaneously. And all those people who have read a lot about the philosophy through so much of control and so much of discipline in life and so much, when they hear from somewhere that, oh, transcendental meditation is just like that, and they laugh at it, and we can only sympathize with them. 1,000 years, and they have been fixed on those wrong interpretations, and they can only think in the way they have been trained. A man with green glasses can only laugh out to a man who describes everything in terms of gold. Or a man with black glasses, he would say, what is there? I'm saying everything is black and it's nice. Fine. But someone says, oh, is it all gold? The difference is of the level of consciousness. Trained in that value of control and concentration, and higher values of life can only be developed by control and concentration and a specific way of developing the sense of detachment from life. And when something is fixed in the mind, it takes some time to go out. This is such a marvelous, simple picture of knowledge about life. Practice is the path of no doing. Once we are on that, the process of purification begins, mind becomes sturdier, body becomes like that. And it does not matter what our life had been till yesterday. It does not matter what our thinking has been till 11 o'clock today or till 12 o'clock today. It doesn't matter. The past is gone. We don't repent about it. We don't waste time on that. It's enough that now we have the reality, we have the possibility, and now we can be of such great value to our world by assimilating this natural and complete knowledge, which is so full in theory and practice. We assimilate it completely, and then we start to radiate that knowledge outside with all dignity and purity of teaching. With all dignity of life and with all purity of teaching, we just disseminate this knowledge to all who come in contact with us. Now, on the surface, it is beautiful golden color. Underneath, colorless sap. This we say when we don't appreciate the colorless on the color. We only see yellow, don't see the colorless on the surface. But because every fiber of this is nothing but the colorless sap, therefore, the colorless sap is even on the surface. It's not only at the depth, it is also on the surface. This is the reality of this, that even though we don't see the colorless sap, we see only the golden color. But the reality of all the golden color is that even integration of life, we integrate our life, means we start to live in our daily routine full inner spiritual awareness along with the outer awareness in the field of living. Both are enriched. The outer is enriched with the inner influence. The inner becomes permanent with the outer influence. The permanency of inner spiritual awareness and enrichment of the waking state of consciousness both take place in a spontaneous manner. And this is the wisdom of life. Do something without doing, so that fullness of inner and fullness of outer life may be spontaneously lived. This is knowledge of life. This is philosophy of life. This is the art of living. This is the science of being. How systematically you get to being, how systematically you get the being infused into the every phase of outer relative life. And both inner stroke of meditation, outer stroke of meditation, we know from our experience, we don't have to do anything. A simplified formula for maximum gain in life, for maximum evolvement in life. Simplified formula. The wisdom lies in simplicity and in its all comprehensiveness. This is the essence of yoga philosophy. This is what Vedanta is. Vedanta speaks of the oneness of life everywhere, and that I am, omnipresent, eternal, immortal, infinite being, and that I am, and that thou art, and that all this is, that oneness of unity. What is that? Just permanent state of inner awareness, that's all. Permanent state of inner awareness, and that we have just analyzed by taking our awareness spontaneously inside, bringing our awareness spontaneously outside. So inside, outside, both strokes of awareness, inner stroke of awareness, outer stroke of awareness, both these alternating in a good proportion, 15-20 minutes inner stroke, 15-20 hours outer stroke. This is such a simple, such a perfect, and so natural thesis of life. Adopting this, we are on the royal road, on the highway to human possibility. Human possibility, this is human possibility, to live full inner spiritual value in every phase of outer material life. This is human possibility. So what we are doing is only normalizing this system, stress and strain, and we are adopting a natural situation for the stresses and strains to go out. We come out with full value of our personality. We radiate that full value of our personality in our atmosphere and thereby evolve, help all others to evolve. All the other systems of yoga, they all see this natural, normal way of fulfillment, but in the present shape, the yoga, all the systems of yoga understood today, or as understood for the last 1,000 years, they present a very ugly picture of this philosophy of life. Very ugly. Because they all have been interpreted in terms of control, renunciation and detachment as a prerequisite to enlightenment. Vedanta has also met with this fate. All philosophy of yoga, all philosophy of Vedanta have been demanding a sense of renunciation and detachment, a sense of condemnation for the material prosperity, material attachment, material life. All this was a bad presentation.